Do we have a roll call?
Vice Mayor Mark Serkin.
Here.
Councilwoman Linda Bauer.
Here.
Councilman Joe Leet. Councilman Pramod Javari.
Here.
Councilman Jeff Capel.
Here.
Councilman Lee Sirwanka.
Here.
Mayor Tom Adamek.
Here.
All present.
Okay, I'd like a motion to accept the agenda.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That's 7 ayes. Okay. Now tonight we are going to start off a public hearing, and it's going to consider a zoning text amendment regarding residential group homes. We talked it last at our last meeting, and I just want to really make sure. I don't think there's an applicant here, is it? Yeah. So we're going to hear what this is about. Then if we have any questions, well, we're going to hear what the issue is. But if there's any questions, council can answer. If there's any public questions about it, we'll open it up to the public hearing, then we'll close it. And then we'll allow council to answer any questions before we vote on it. So if, I guess David or Kelly? You're
going to
tell us what this is about.
Can you hear me? Oh, great. So, yes, as you know, we recently updated our zoning code. Since that update, we have learned that one of our code provisions is not in compliance with state law, and that's regarding residential group homes. And basically, state law says that those facilities are allowed with five or fewer residents. By right, shouldn't have to go through any process of ours. So this is just cleaning up. It's a very minor adjustment to our code to make sure that we don't have any legal issues going forward in implementing the state law.
Thank you. And we talked most of that last time around. Now, any other questions or any other information from the city? Okay, I'll open it up now to the citizens. Does anybody have a comment on this? Okay, well, I didn't think there'd be any. There wasn't last year, last meeting. I guess it was last year, wasn't it? So with that, we'll close it to the citizens. I'm just going to see if council have any questions. I think we had all those last time. Okay, so we'll close that hearing. Now, we'll vote on this later on tonight. Okay, so I need a motion to approve the minutes of December 14, 2017.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any questions about these? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
I think 7 ayes. Anybody, any nays? Okay, 7-0, so it passes. All right, communications. Any communications to come?
There's none tonight, Your Honor.
Thank you. Any reports from outside agencies? Seeing none. When are the mayor's report for 2017 into the minutes? And then we need a motion to accept the financial report for December 2017.
So moved.
Second. Thank you, Jeff. Introducing this thing. That's good, you know. First and second and stuff already. So, all in favor, say aye.
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 Any ayes? So, 7 ayes. Okay. So, we're done with that portion of the meeting. Now, we are going to open this up for hearings from citizens. Okay. Yeah. Oh, can you hear me now? Now, I'm talking about as loud as I can into the mic. It may be very hard to hear back there. Any solutions to that, or do we?
Maybe some of them can come in the front over here, so that would be easier.
If you know, I don't know how to address it because I am speaking into the mic, but I'll make sure I continue to do this a little closer. If you are having trouble, please move up closer. All right. So I'm going to ask the citizens to address council as a whole. You're not addressing anybody else out here, so when you come up to the mic, please talk to council. Please keep comments to 3 minutes. We're going to time that. Now, I hope you're not 3 minutes. Don't use that. Now, you're on out. We'll give you a little notice. We'll give you a minute to finish up. We're going to have, you know, probably won't have the answer. You're at looking for an answer tonight. I don't know if we will. But if you do have a request, we'll make sure we get back to you. The administration probably will, or one of us. And then I want to make sure there's always a possibility that there is something that's just come up in miscellaneous business. Now, most of it's probably going to be around what we're going to deliberate on, but if we do that at the end of the meeting. Okay, so now, as you come up, if, and you may come up and you'll talk, if you've heard and you have a speech or whatever, or you got 2 minutes of talk, if you've heard that already, please just make that very brief and say, you're against it or for it. I agree with what the other person said very briefly. I would hope you wouldn't have to say and repeat what other people have said. So I think that'll help us all get through this meeting at least quicker, but we do want to respect being able to hear what you may say. So with that, the first citizen who wants to be heard, please stand up and come up to the mic up here. Well, you're gonna be the test case, and they're all gonna say, "Okay, that's how we do it." We'll see if I can last less than 3 minutes. I'm Mike Duncan, 9204 Blue Wing Terrace in Blue Ash. Mr. Mayor, Council, City staff, and I'm actually very glad there are a lot of citizens here because what I'm going to speak to has an effect more on our citizens than anything else. Each year, I come before you to talk about the AARP Tax Counseling for the Elderly program, where we have volunteers throughout the Cincinnati area, throughout the state, throughout the United States, that does free tax preparation for elderly, but also low and moderate income. So it's not restricted just to our seniors. It's to anyone who wants to come to our site. Now, we used to have a site at the Sycamore Senior Center, but as we all know, that closed, and we moved to Sharonville Community Center on Thornview. We have site there on 2 days, on Wednesday and on Friday. And also another site close to Blue Ash would be the Myers and JCC Jewish Community Center over on Ridge Road. And so we have 2 sites fairly close. Each one has 9 to 10 counselors on each of the days. We do 45 tax returns for seniors and low-income folks. This is a completely free service, and as I say every year, most of the returns we do for seniors are fairly straightforward, but if you go to tax services, you're going to pay $200 to $400, depending on how many pages they tell you to let you do for them. We do it for free. We get training every year. In fact, I'll finish up my training this year tomorrow. We do extensive training. We have people with one of our gentlemen, he actually works at Springdale, but he's been doing it for 32 years. He's 92 years old. He started when he was. This is my, I think, 7th year. We've got counselors for 10, 15, 20 years of service. We have a lot of experience. We do it absolutely free, and we would strongly encourage that council, that their constituents know. I've given Carla a note that we'll put up at the rec center and other places, and then hopefully on our website, an electronic copy. But again, on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays over the Myers Jewish Community Center. It's a great service. We enjoy doing it for our folks. And since Sycamore Senior Center isn't here anymore, Sharonville and Myers Center are the two closest ones for that. And so I strongly encourage you to tell all your friends, invite them to call the phone numbers. Starting the last week of January, they'll be accepting reservations, and it is by reservation. And all the people, Sharonville Community Center and BCC will be available. So thank you for your time. I know I went under 3 minutes. You did. I was hoping you'd go over, so that's how that works. Thank you, Mike, for your service. And you're welcome. Okay, who else would like to speak? Just somebody sit down and make your way up.
My name is Peter North. I live at Kenridge Lake. I wasn't going to make any comment. know, the people in the back said they couldn't hear. I was in the hospital for the December meeting and missed it. I asked one of my neighbors what happened there, who was here, and he said, I don't know, I couldn't hear. And he said, I asked my store neighbor what happened in the meeting, and he said, I don't know, I couldn't hear. So we all know the acoustics in here are a problem. The microphones that are being used are voice actuated. If you get them too far away, they stop picking up the sounds. And I think it would be of great benefit if the city would hire a professional audio engineer to come in and review the way the microphones and the speakers are laid out in here, not somebody who sells the equipment, because I think that's what happened in the first place. The guy who sold the equipment sold us a lot of good stuff, but it wasn't really appropriate to do the job. You need some sound baffling in the ceiling because of the echoes. When somebody stands here and the city manager whispers to the corporate council, we can hear every word he says because the sound drops and comes right down here. I remember when I talked a while back about mosquito control and said that mosquitoes could be controlled by a little oil. The city manager whispers to the council and the EPA would want that. And what I had in mind was how my grandmother took a couple of tablespoons of cleaning oil and put it in the rain barrel by the side of her house, and then controlled the mosquitoes in the rain barrel. And maybe the city manager didn't have an old grandmother like that to realize it, but it would be a great benefit for all citizens if you'd get a good audio engineer to figure out how to fix this. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. David, maybe I've heard that before. Maybe we could look at that. We certainly want to hear. Now, that's why I'm going to put my mouth up here and talk, because I won't have a problem.
I assume you mean the oil and mosquito, not the microphone.
Whichever one you want.
I think I missed that meeting, Peter, by the way. So it might have been Kelly that said that.
Hello, I'm Robert Shelton. Hopefully everybody can hear me. I kind of have a loud voice, unfortunately. This is 4524 Victor Avenue, here in Boash. Been a resident since 1967. And we received a letter in January from the City Council in regards to the pending Victor Floral Avenue connector. And what I've kind of glad to see, there are a lot more of our people that live around our area coming up here tonight. Probably most of the same thing I'm going to say about. I don't know who's in favor of it. And I know that the city has stated that they don't have any control over the subdivision being built in the city of Blue Ash. But according to what some of us are going to bring up tonight with the regulations through Hamilton County and through Blue Ash, that this is something that should go through. We enjoy having our park down the end of our street, which is Hunt Park. Was updated back in the early 80s to include a walking path, bridges updated, put in, all the carpet cleared out, making it from a woods to an actual park. And according to what they're stating, that the paper street that goes through there is on the other side of where the Hunt Park ends. Well, if that were the case, then why didn't the city go ahead on the left side of the paper street, do improvements to that, if it wasn't truly part of the park? And so that's one of our concerns, in that they're stating where the park ends and where the paper street begins. That's not a true design of what the actual paper they sent us out on. Another concern is the safety in our neighborhood. Right now we have kids that play in the street, walk their dogs, families jog. We have, you know, a lot of people that walk down to the park. If they get that connector, we lose that park. Kids aren't going to want to go down there and play if there's cars going back and forth through there all the time. That's a major concern. We have a lot of older people that enjoy going down to that park and have for a long time. That's another concern. One of the big concerns is the drug activity. We've had an increase in drug activity in the park. But with the barriers down there that we have currently, it's kind of detoured away from people wanting to be there. If you put the major street in, they're now going to have perfect access to go from one side to the other, drop and go. And that's going to cause a problem with more drug activity. We're not trying to make that in our park. And another is the ecological area. We have a lot of wildlife down there in that park. Deer, fox, there's fish in the stream, the creek that's down there. How are we going to justify losing all that animal and wildlife if they put that paper road in? So that's a lot that we're concerned about, and I'm sure there's others that will come up in the board as well. We would like to see some kind of council look at speaking with the City of Blue Ash Parks Recreation Division to see exactly where they have ended their park permits and where we actually would be destroying part of the park, and see what they think about that, as well as going and looking into the regulations to make sure that these builders who are from Lebanon aren't even from Blue Ash. The builder is building and he's from Lebanon, and how he's going to justify putting those three homes in there and improving on a road that apparently they say exists but has never existed, and how he's going to be able to construct that to meet the requirements that they have for the City of Blue Ash as well as Hamilton. That was my concerns, and thank you very much.
We will probably more than likely talk this miscellaneous business, and we'll talk to legal assets, and maybe we'll hear where we're at today. So you might want to stay around a little.
Oh, and because we will talk. There's a proof. There's though. There'll be a few more coming up to address.
Oh, well, I'm saying we're not going to address it right at this second.
So that later,
we will at least put an update to our council. We might answer some questions at that time.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hello, everyone. This is Beverly Brownfield. I live on Swallow Court off of Victor in Homemakers, also known as Birdland. Some people from the outside call it. But anyway, I kind of wanted to reiterate what you said. I know it's going to be discussed later, but I did want to mention that we have a lot of elderly back there. I don't know if there's any representatives from Dree Homes here. Apparently, the builders of these 2 to 3 homes. But we have a lot of elderly people back there and Homemakers, and they walk a few times a day, and they're very slow and walk across the streets there. That's a big concern. We have a lot of walkers, runners that come through there. We have children playing, riding bicycles. And when we bought our house, we bought it in part because it was on a quiet street. It was on a no outlet street, off of a no outlet street, a very quiet subdivision. And I would think that the residents of these new homes would also like to be on a no outlet street that would be quiet, that they wouldn't have a lot of through traffic from back subdivisions and whatnot cutting through to go to Silver Target. I am not an artist, but I've taken the liberty of drawing several sketches of different solutions to the problem. And one is, at the end of the picture, we could create a pine trees or some kind of a spruce tree little forest there that would actually cut the floral off from Victor. And then the three homes would still be able to be there with their driveways to cut out on Victor. Another plan would be to build the wooden pillars, whatever, that are currently at the end of Victor, right before you get to the woods, the park. They could do that. Another plan would be, which is one of our favorites, is to build a rock wall that is similar to the one in front of Walgreens or Blue Ash Nails. Beautiful rock wall that may have flowers on it in the spring and summer. Another one might be to just leave it as it is with the opening coming out from Flora down to Victor. So the three homes could be on a new street, which would be an outlet from Flora. So I'm thinking, and I know a lot of my neighbors have too, would you like to see it stay the way it is, a nice quiet cul-de-sac? Thank you.
If you want to just drop off, and maybe it'll be useful, I don't know.
Okay.
To the administration.
Okay.
Thank you. Next.
Some of you walk in, otherwise it'll take 20 minutes longer.
My name is Charles Waller. I live at 9395 Canary Court. It's on the corner of Canary and Victor. My concern is, I'll take a little bit more extended to what's been said before. Victor is not a two-lane highway. Victor is not a two-lane avenue. Victor is not a two-lane street. We've had trouble in the past from time to time, and you could hear people zooming through the area. And to go back to what was said before, we have kids on that area. I've had kids on Quinair Court since 1986. Some small, some middle size, and we have families that go with it too, as well as strangers who walk their dogs, which we don't mind at all. I'm watching that. Has there been any request of the developer on a traffic study on the impact it's going to have on Victor Street? And if so, can that traffic report or that study be actually provided to the neighbors of Victor Street so they have an understanding what the impact of this increased traffic is going to be? Because I cannot see how you can make a decision or not make a stance if you can't make a decision based on the letter you said on that traffic flow. Because kids could get hurt. Someone has just mentioned seniors. Seniors can't hurt. Anybody can get hurt. All you need is a jackass driving a car. And they do come, usually on our street, and they don't necessarily live there. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, City Council, City staff, members of the audience, 105 address. My name is Christine Weber. I live at 1475 Blue Wing Terrace in Brooklyn. And I am talking today on two very brief topics because I know there's going to be a lot more to follow. As a homeowner on the last cul-de-sac close to Conroe Park, and having had two grandchildren live in that home for 10 years and using the park as their backyard, I would plead with you to consider keeping the residential, quiet, family-friendly neighborhood that we have in Burrville. It means an awful lot to an awful lot of kids. And this is all kids. And anybody who knows me knows that I'm always very child-centered in my thoughts. I oppose the idea of impacting the city with another 491 apartments in our current Summit Road development, Summit Park development planning vehemently. I've seen what 4900 has done to West Elementary, anecdotally, because I'm a grandmother there, and every time I go in there, it seems to be more and more financial, emotional, and of course educational needs that the burden of apartments and folks who don't have a stake in the community have, you know, for our community. So please consider carefully before you increase the number, percentage number to as high as what I've heard, 40%, residents living in apartments as opposed to single-family dwellings. So thank you very much.
Those old people don't move very well in our neighborhood. I walk the park every day. I live in the park.
Name and address.
Okay, I'm Sharon Peterson. 9371 Rice Lane. I've lived there for 40 years, and I spend every day walking in that park.
know the traffic that goes around the park, that goes down the floor, and I absolutely do not want it coming my direction. That is a business district. It is a district that delivers flowers, and Google will be running their route through our neighborhood now. Anybody who delivers anything now will be running through our neighborhood because, according to Google, that's the fastest way, and that's what everybody wants. But that's not what we want. We don't want that. We want our home, neighborhood to stay like it is. Also, I've done some research myself on these streets. I looked up in the ORC, but I could not find anything. But every time I did, it kicked me over to the state of Maine. In Maine, they state that only a developer can use a paper street if this street is on abandoned land. This is not abandoned land. This is a park that has been mowed and manicured for over 20 years. And also, it has had improvements, just as has been spoken before. This is not abandoned land. This is our park. The city of Blue Ridge has taken care of it, and I insist to keep it that way. And I want you to do everything absolutely possible to keep that safety of our neighborhood and our home and our livelihood. Also, since I'm here, I will also oppose the apartment for the same reasons as spoken from the woman before me. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I lived in Blue Ash for 59 years in this homemaker subdivision, the very last house. What they're talking about is trying to put a road through. And I had, since I've been down with the flu for 2 weeks, and I'm not quite over, I asked my son Donald to do some research for me and explain the purpose of them trying to put a road through, which we don't need. And there's a lot of details in this, which maybe it has never been checked on. So I appreciate if you listen to what he has to say. I thank you.
I think everybody's covered the same.
Just
my name is Don Ehrlich. I'm just being asked my mother, who lives at 4547 Victor Avenue in the Blue Ash. Been a resident there for over 60 years. She was there when the neighborhood was first developed. She lives at the Victor Avenue. And several attempts have been made to extend the drive. There's two parcels there. One is turned and changed hands a few times, and the same attempts made to build the houses there and extend the drive. After a little research, my mother asked me to do a little research for her as to why this didn't happen, other than what's been relayed to me through history. They managed to extend Victor Avenue based on their rules and regulations of the Hamilton County Regional Planning Commission and Flats and Subdivision Commission of Hamilton County. You can't extend a stub road in Hamilton County, which Victor Avenue is considered a stub road, unless it's an identical size and nature, meaning that it goes from sidewalk to sidewalk. That's not what the letter that my mother received in December stated they're going to start construction. At the end of January states that there will be no sidewalk on one side of the street and down the other. And there's other laws, one pertaining to an extension of a subdivision. In addition to a subdivision on a dead end street, you can only go to the extent of that subdivision or that addition. So therefore, this parcel is only 186 feet long. So they're extending Victor Avenue instead of a thoroughfare, which is, would be totally illegal. They could only extend that Victor Avenue 186 feet, which is the length of this guy's property once they had three houses. The people of Victor don't have a problem with three new neighbors, but they do with the traffic that it would bring, obviously, as other people on Victor Avenue and Burkeville have stated. Also, something that hasn't been spoken of, usually in business or city or government, whatever,
you like for a win-win situation. This situation is not a win-win situation. For the residents there, from a financial standpoint, just if you look through records, the identical houses on Hunt Road sell for about $50,000 less than the houses on in Burrville. The main reason being is people with kids don't want to live on a heavily traveled road, such as Hunt Road, Victor Avenue. There's no traffic much, get far an hour on Victor Avenue, or just five, of course, even less. So, as somebody else had spoken previously, that's one of the reasons they moved to Burrville, because it's a nice, quiet neighborhood, and I think a lot of people have that same feeling. That's why there's a lot of people that have bought these houses since the 1950s, and have passed on, my father has, different neighbors have passed on. Half these houses have been in the same family for 50 to 60 years. And one of the things, what I was getting at with the win-win situation, is the residents of Burrville lose property value on these houses eventually because of the increased traffic. Blue Ash, therefore, would be losing money on this because they're going to be collecting less property tax from these houses, which is going to be devalued. So that's a lose-lose win-win situation, which isn't practical from a business standpoint, or anybody that, you know, that lives in Blue Ash or anywhere else would want their property values to go down. Yeah, as much as property values to go up, this would not happen. So, one thing that is a possibility, because we can only go to the end of the street, is to drive and it costs that. But even to extend Victor Avenue, the city of Blue Ash, if you look at the county auditors, they're going to have to sell part of the park for Victor Avenue to be extended. So, I mean, I don't know how everybody, obviously, you're hearing how everybody feels about losing their park. It's a small park as it is. We don't want to lose any more of that park. My kids, grandkids have played in that park. I played in that park before it was a park. That came from the road. I did research on it. And Hamlin County is considered, Victor Avenue is considered a stub avenue, which means there are regulations and limitations for what you can do to extend a stub avenue. And I've emailed every one of the council members and the mayor, sent you an email in regards to these regulations. What I've found, and I'm just a novice at research, but on my mom's behalf, I put forth the effort, and I'm hoping to review these regulations, whether it's the city solicitor or whoever would have to get involved at that point before that.
He's right here.
That would happen. Hopefully, that gets looked at prior before any decision being made. Thank you.
Thank you.
Just a few words. My name is Mama Garchel. We live four houses from the park. And staying on that street. The dead end was the reason. I have five little twins, and we are daily users of that park. They love it there. It is safe. I feel like I live in a community that values nature, that values recreation, and that values the safety of my children. And so, Josh, did you want to say something?
We like our park.
Thank you, both of you.
My name is Jim Cagle. I live at 4376 Victor Avenue. My wife and I have been living there for 29 years. It's actually the house that my parents bought in 1954. Burrville is a unique neighborhood. It's got a nickname. How many neighborhoods in Blue Ash have a nickname? It's that unique. And if Victor Avenue is made to be a through street, it's going to destroy the neighborhood. You see at the clock, rises every morning. Through street on Victor Avenue will destroy that neighborhood. Thank you.
Thank you.
Robert Ryan. Just from the audience, we really don't want to get into the clapping. I know you're happy and everything, but let's kind of keep that down. Thank you.
My name is Robert Ryan. I'm 9514 Compton Avenue, Reverend Corner from Hunt Park. This issue has raised itself up through back channels, and I'm glad to see that it's actually coming to the front right now. Everything I've heard so far, I've heard echoed before from residents of Burtville and area. And if you look at the cage's map, it's very struck that they're absolutely correct that that will be a custom for getting back to the road to the 71. So I would oppose this project. Thank you.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and council members. My name is Steve Arnsey. I live at 9791 Tring Court, and I also operate my business at Blue Ash. I am a commercial real estate professional with 45 years of experience, and my focus is on redevelopment in urban communities and communities with urban characteristics like Blue Ash. Blue Ash is a first-tier city with urban characteristics that is virtually built out except for this previously undeveloped site on Plaza's Summit property. Our community is fortunate to have the neighborhood of Summit Park development opportunity to continue to showcase our awareness of changing and evolving lifestyles and the vision of our citizens and elected officials. This positions us well to compete for new and expanding businesses and new residents for our community. This will allow us to continue to maintain a balanced community with a stable and increasing tax base. I've been tracking the Summit Park project from the time it was announced and have attended a number of open houses and information sessions initiated by the developer. I have watched the plan evolve through meetings with listening to the spectrum of stakeholders, including citizens, city staff, the city planning division, city council, and Sycamore School District. This process has been going on for almost 2 years. The issue before you tonight is not whether stakeholders like this, like apartments or senior living units or the office development should come first, but rather to do the two final development plans before the unit tonight conform to the approved concept plan. This is a concept plan unanimously approved by the Planning Commission in August 2016 and approved by Council in September of 2016. Both of these bodies deemed the concept plan to be in conformity with the Special Comprehensive Land Use Plan. This is one of the most thoroughly transparent and vetted projects that I've ever seen in my career. Any stakeholder that is uninformed or feels uninformed, then they just didn't participate in any or all of the opportunities available to them. What I see are two final plans that conform to the concept plan and comprehensive land use plan. For these reasons, I support and recommend the council approve the final development plan for the mixed-use commercial multifamily residential building and the final development plan for the senior living building. One last item. Regarding sequencing the project, in my professional opinion, you must seed the project with residential and mixed use to attract office users. It is no longer adequate to have an office building with beautiful landscaping. The market is looking for a complete package now, including residential, commercial, retail, amenities, and walkability. Significant pre-leasing is not only desired, but is essential in order to obtain private financing for an office building. And I am confident that the office users will not be far behind after these two projects are actively in development. In keeping with this thought, I ask you to consider these questions. Would GE be at the banks if the residential and mixed use had not been in place? Would Anthem be at Oakley Station if residential and mixed use were not in place. Where would the redevelopment of the DR be today if the city of Cincinnati had required office development before residential and commercial? Thank you for your time and opportunity to speak.
Thanks, Steve.
Good evening, Dan Shore, Carpenter's Bridge. I clearly do not have the credentials this gentleman has. Clearly have not studied the plans as he has. But I don't think I should be bullied or put down for not even understanding the process by which you have come to this point. I do, however, have a ton of content gathered through 61 years. I dare to say everyone in this room is unhappy with the way the Hunt Road apartment complex has turned out. It's overwhelming. It's unattractive. I feel there are way too many units already available in Blue Ash. I feel our leaders don't seem to care anymore about the green space, which is something that has attracted many of us to Blue Ash. Have we not learned from what happened in Mason and the quick overgrowth there? Just because you committed to paint your own paper to something doesn't mean you have to go through with it. There are so many residents who do not want these apartment buildings. Are you not here to serve the citizens of Blue Ash? Are you not here to listen to our words, to what we have to say? Please hear our words. That's what we're asking.
Thank you. Again, please control the clapping. We are the other voters are going to come up. We know there's a lot that's awarded. We'll just assume we've heard it anyhow. So, go on.
My name is Joe Andrews. I just live 45 miles from here. I've been a resident of Blue Ash for 32 years. To build on what was just said, we now have an opportunity to build something that is complementary to the park that we've spent the 4 years. And something that's aesthetically inviting from the views from the park, from the people passing by, and from any commercial development that would be nearby. You're going to hear a whole lot about numbers tonight, I'm sure. I want to talk about aesthetics. I've complained about this before in front of this forum, but to each of you, I think, individually, or most of them individually. We could have something that looks like a main Strauss. We could have something in a film-like concept that would be, say, medium density, and fulfill all the needs that we're looking for. Instead, what we've opted for, we shut down our throats, a high density. And high density is a very good description of it. It's not pleasant density, it's not random density, it's high density that we should not be involved in. That project is monolithic across the south end of the south side of our park. It will look horrible from there. You will see people with balconies that have their beach towels hanging out there, their bicycles, and their hibachi grills. And it's going to be, well, presently, from what I can see with the bulldozers, within about 10 feet of our public property. That is an atrocity, 63 times. You will ruin the park that we spent so many hours and so much time, so many dollars to try to make something beautiful and unique. Now, I think we've already established not anybody to defend the street presence of the 4900. You are seeing that in spades in our park. That will destroy the integrity of what I call the old downtown Blue Ash. We have the opportunity, and the last opportunity now, to reestablish that adjacent to the Summit Park, which we all thought we were getting into when we started talking about this a couple of years ago. It's not what we signed up for. So what I'm going to propose is that we step back from this and do this in the same method. If we get sued, so be it. And do it right, because there will be no second chance. Once the concrete starts pouring in the ground, we're done. I can say that until the comprehensive plan is fully and totally put before the citizens of Bluegrass and before you, the City Council and the Building Commission, that it should be tabled. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Roxanne Red, being closed around. Unlike most of the people here, I'm a relatively new resident. We moved here in 2013. And we moved here for the community. I understand that businesses provide tax dollars, they have tax dollars, support schools, things. I don't think anyone or for the community, but there's definitely a pent-up need for single-family homes. As evidenced by the road people, where they're building in infill properties. Some of the council meetings where they're taking the backyards of, they're buying the house and making the backyard a home for new buildings, things like that. We moved our home since 2013. It's a four-bedroom, three-bath home on Parker's Run. I've had no less than seven people approach me to try and buy our home. We're our investors. We like to have a cocktail once in a while. We like to hang out with friends. I don't particularly like maintenance. We can't find a condo. We can't find a home in Blue Ash where we prefer to live. And it's really a mixed development. Where is home ownership coming in as part of the mixed-use? I think apartments drive down property values. I think there's room for them at certain times. I do think that there's an overabundance of them now. And I think it takes a toll on the school system that's overcrowded. Based on what I hear, I don't even have children that I'm concerned about. Because that, you know, everyone who's trying to buy a home has kids and they want to live in the school system. And they want to contribute their tax dollars. You know, they want to come to the meetings. They want to participate in Blue Ash. Another point that I want to make, because of people having a hard time hearing, we need to record these meetings. We haven't recorded it. It's every other council that I've ever heard of does that. It's reserved. It's run by a group that runs our cable company, and I don't know why we don't do that, because it's very difficult to make it every 2 weeks come to these things. So I think that would be a benefit, so that people can get informed. We don't have the he said, she said stuff. We can go back and say what actually happened. I think a lot of people often translate with that. And I do think, because I hear, last time we were here, I heard that there's a lot of tourist seniors for the over 55 and up. I'm over 55. I have absolutely no interest in that. I still believe in home ownership. I'm willing to pay for somebody to take care of the condo. I don't want to live in a 700 square foot apartment that barely is 2 rooms and a small bathroom and kitchen. We're suburban. We're using a lot of room. Montgomery seems to be getting it right. Marymount seems to be getting it right. Why aren't we getting it right? You know, we're the millennials. I have a problem with that, you know. But they're the ones that are trying to buy a house. You know, they're the ones that are trying to buy a Davenport. If you're renting a house $1,500 a month, my mortgage is way less than that. And I'm like, you know, why would anybody want to do that? So, you know, and I get the maintenance thing, but, you know, making money on the condos, whatever. I was researching this over and over, because I do think there's a future in this use, but it has to be done really, really well, and it's a moving target. Retail's dead. What we have to have is a rental or a rental type of stuff in these places where you have happy hours. You have, you know, cons, you have things that are currently going on with Summit, but, you know, millennials like to be entertained. You know, it's like, you know, if you want to really draw people in, you have to have that as part of it. One of the, that's a cost. One of the things, there's a place in Atlanta, I forget the name of it, but it's a company here in Cincinnati that actually built it out. And one of their things is they become like a theme park. They have people in charge of programming, develop, pay for that, to get people in the apartments or whatever they have. I don't know if that has ever been considered, but it's something that it's kind of an expense that probably should be something also considered as part of it. And then I'm a little confused. Health Properties was part of this originally, and then they went to Fortis. And Health Properties have a good reputation. I don't know what happened. But they seem to be well-versed in handling condos. And I don't know if that was, you know, part of the deal or not. But let's see if there's anything else. But basically, I just think, you know, when you've never, you know, I'm an anomaly. I actually came from the west side. I come to the east side. I come to the east side of the west side house, so even. But I think that, you know, when people ask why I moved here, I'm like, because I want to be near civilization. Lewis used to be way out of us. I mean, I worked here. I went up and down Green Park and never even knew Carpenter's Run existed. So I have lines on, I've worked out here, you know, it's a place you go to work. And, you know, when I found out they had him here, I'm like, wow, you know, they have all kinds of stuff, you know, that I never even knew about. So it was one of the places I was agreed to. And we moved Betty Cotton through the hoops, trying to find a place. And like I said, we lucked out. But it was a challenge to find that. So I think that with all the testimony that you have, I think there's definitely a market here for family homes. I mean, they have a quarter retreat. People are clamoring to live here. But not special rental.
You need to wrap up.
Okay. But anyway, so that's all I have to say. But thank you for your time.
Thank you, Roxanne.
I'm the biggest part of the room. I put 43 comments around. I just wanted to acknowledge the person that sent each of you an email this evening, and I appreciate the acknowledgments that those of you who sent back. I would like to not only reiterate what everyone else has said, but also as an active realtor for the past 44 years, the article that I sent you was just printed about 3 weeks ago in the USA, and it shows that the Cincinnati area is cheaper to own than rent. We talk about millennials wanting to live where they get close to work and walk. We're not the best. We're not over the Rhine. We do not have that many places that we're going to have that many folks who want to rent an apartment and walk to work. I do not see it. I've been here for 34 years. I've seen some great things happen, and I see great things happen. And I think, as I stated before, we just need to make sure that we get it right. The main reason I came up tonight to even reiterate what I said to you was through social media, I learned that there are threats that have come from the developers that may do if it's not approved this evening. To me, that's Washington politics. That's not being Blue Ash friendly as we have always been known to be over the years. And I think I also know that one of the council persons had acknowledged to me that when 4900 went through, that there was a threat of lawsuits back then and your names were tied. I hate to see the same mistake happen again. I want to see it develop the way it should be. Condominiums, single family homes, that's what Blue Ash is. And if it's open, it'll remain. It'll make some of the parts have been demonstrated.
Thank you.
with murder and freedom. My name is Alan Lazarus. I live on Carpenter's Ridge, where I've lived for 33 years. We just invested more money into our place because we want to keep living there. I'm 82 years old, plan to live there for another 25 years. To make a long story short, I am very concerned about traffic, of expanding Summit Park out to Reed Harbor, which will soon be Mason Montgomery and Fields Urban. You can't accommodate all this in a residential community that's built on residences. There's enough business buildings, high rises, low rises, whatever it is, to have all these new apartments in a condensed area on that corner in that area, to me, just is going to make it miserable. I mean, traffic. How are you going to get out of all this? How are you going to get people moving around? It just makes no sense to me. And what is wrong with having green space? I know the other, the Plainfield end of it, and all the woods that are still there, all along there, is green. Why not get some imagination to make a beautiful something else, addition to Summit Park, all the way to Reed Harbor? One of your officers told me before that there's an agreement we'd have to buy that land or something. I don't understand that, and I don't think most of the people in this room know that. But I just don't get why we need to take something that we've created, which is a jewel. Summit Park, I watch every brick go in. I watch every level of the tower go in. It's just, my wife thinks I live there. And I just don't understand why we want to take anything more and condense it, package it up, and make it just more apartments, more. Okay?
Thank you.
Next.
I'm Ralph Holman. I live on the fourth unit. Berlin, and you've been talking about the road going through, and I think it's pretty well established that there's probably not one resident in that subdivision that one has to go through. So I've changed my subject. My subject now is, why in the world did you tear down the only thing that was pretty in the center part of Blue Ash is the stone walls, the walkways, all that has been torn and is being replaced by, guess what, cement. It's cold, it's not inviting. If you want people to go downtown Blue Ash, you've got to make something there that would leave them come into a nice place. They don't want to see these stone walls. And now, of course, they said, well, the maintenance on the sidewalk is too expensive. We got money for other things. We can surely put up some money for the maintenance. If them walls were beautiful, they were nice stone walls. Nobody said anything about them being torn down that I know of. I just all of a sudden see them tearing them down. I think council ought to be ashamed of themselves for making the city more ugly than beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you for helping me out. Go on.
Raven Lane.
So what was your first name?
I was still on Raven Lane, so I started kindergarten at Sycamore Elementary, and I just graduated this past year. I've heard many people talk about the impact, about the way it's going to affect millennials, and I'm going to tell you, I am a young millennial, and my ultimate goal is to stay Blue Ash. I go to UC, I travel from Blue Ash to UC, and my goal for my life is to live in Blue Ash, to teach at Blue Ash Elementary, and then have my kids go to Sycamore. My parents, my whole life, have lived in their house. I have enjoyed my childhood in that end. I have enjoyed that park and that area. I've rode my bike with no fear of getting hit by cars. But we stay clear of the road. When I was younger, the rule was, if you pass a stop sign on time, it was over. Now, if you pass a stop sign on Raven, with the new development coming in, it's over. We already have problems with people blowing past the stop sign. as the council is clearly aware, now I see a police officer sitting there almost every day when I drive past. So we are aware of the problems already, and this will only bring more problems to this. And for millennials who want to live there, we're not going to want to if we don't have the same, and our children are not going to have the same opportunities that I have. I want the same thing for my future children because I have a time in my life being a sycamore, safe, and living up to death in Birdville.
Thank you. Now, the only thing I would say is, I don't know why you didn't get any clapping when you said she's from UC. Anyway, please don't clap even for that.
Hi,
class.
I'm 9395 Plainfield Road, and I am also opposed to the insurance complex. And one of the things, I mean, the parking was brought up at the last meeting, and I, from what I've seen and read, there is not going to be enough parking for the tenants and for the public. The other thing is, at the last meeting, although again, it was very hard to hear, I didn't hear any rationale for going from about 240 apartments to 290 apartments. What is the rationale for that, if there is one? My, and possibly when the original concept was approved in 2016, there may have been some public meetings. If there were, I'm not aware of them. But they have changed the concept. And my feeling is that this resolution should not be voted on tonight, that you need to have some public meetings where there is actually a back and forth, where you actually can answer people that come up to speak. Thank you.
Thank you.
In beautiful Blue Ranch. I live about as far from Summit Park as one can live and still be a Blue Ranch resident, I believe. I certainly echo comments tonight and ask you, beseech you, to move more slowly as you develop the last large remaining area of green space in our fair city. Sometimes I question why we are called a city and not a village or a suburb or whatever. We are indeed a city. And when I moved here in 1991, I was told that I was going to have all the benefits of a great community to raise my kids, leave having my kids go to Illinois, a great place to raise children in a community that has a wonderful tax base in a great school district. And I came here happy to pay for our tax, happy to support the public schools, which we have done over these past years, having to support Sycamore and its most recent even though our children are long gone from Sycamore schools, happy to speak up vibrant community and happy to be Blue Ash friendly, and I think that is a really great term. I'm concerned about the concept of millennials moving to Northwest Blue Ash. I am the mother of millennials. They are 33 and 35 years old. They do not happen to actually live in this city. They're out of town. But friends of mine who had kids who grew up on Miramar Court have had their children return to Cincinnati after college. The kids have done their thing downtown. The kids are now starting families, and they are moving out of the city to the birds. We are a bird. When one looks at the proposed apartments, the number of young families and people that are going in, many of these so-called millennials are going to be way past the time when they're single and wanting to live in an urban area. And trust me, Blue Ash is not an urban area. The city of Cincinnati is an urban area. Oakley is an urban area even. You know, we are not, our concept, our vibe is not that kind of idea. When I look at downtown Blue Ash, and I've lived here a long time, I can see a history of architecture. There is old Blue Ash on the northwest corner of Kenwood and Cooper. There exists an Audubon guy who's been there since day one. Across the street,
across the street, there's what Walt Beezer used to call Black Bank, which he thought was a great development back when it was built many years ago, when they knocked down the old elementary school. There's a Walgreens. There's a bank. Fine. There's also a set of apartments that are about as unattractive and not fitting the concept of downtown that are sitting there that I drive past 3 and 4 times a day to do my work in downtown Louisville, to go to the Sycamore Library, to go to Higgins, to go to the post office, to go to my wish for a closer grocery than what I have. And none of those people living in those apartments really have any place to go without getting in a car to go by, to load their groceries, you know, the most other goods they have. There's no place for them in the so-called walkable Louisville. Why don't we do this a second time? That's my question. We have.
Unfortunately, you take up her time in class, so let's see your respect.
Absolutely. A lot of people say a lot of things tonight. I think, you know this is a hot topic. You know this is a very hot topic. And I just urge you to take your time. This is a really critical juncture. This is the last remaining open area in Woodbridge. We live here long enough to see that not everything that's been put forth has been a huge success. I live here long enough to see that. And I know a lot of you are, as old as I am, we're pretty darn close. And I know you see a lot of gray haired people coming up here to talk as though we have no concept of what young folks want. But we have had a chance, I think, to see our gorgeous, beautiful city and what it's done over the years. And I compliment all of you because you work with the artists, and I know you care, and I know people that you work with care, and I'm definitely the businesses that are here. But I want to think about what we are doing as a community, and for that, I thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Renee Burke, 1424 Victor. I'm also opposed to the development on Victor Road for the park. And as several key words we brought up, we are a unique community. We are one of the few communities that you will see neighbors getting together, watching each other's kids, letting the kids play in front of our place, football, walk our dogs together, and enjoy time together. A lot of people have become so institutionalized and let's have our own minds. We are one of the few communities that actually work together. And I want to keep that with us. One of the other issues that we have with the park is the drug activity. We have there many times we find out that they say that this has been held for a long time. Well, if you're not coming down to deal with the drug activity in the park, that's not really a long time for us. You make it easier by putting a throughway street for them to go in and just drop their drugs and keep going down our street and not even pay attention to the kids that are out that a ball rolled into the road or a dog ran across the road or anything like that. Not only that, we are a single, most of our cars there are single car lengths. So most of us that have more than one car have to park one car on the street. With added traffic, it makes it harder for us to do that. There's only room for one car to get through there anyway. We're thinking of them coming from those angles that's not going to work in our community. I'm also opposed to what's going on at Summit Park. And less and more businesses have come in there first to show us that it is worth actually putting more community property in there. My understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that the businesses that are coming in there all have to pay a fee per square foot down to the city of Cincinnati. How is that benefiting us? Yeah, you can bring more people in and doing apartments and homes and stuff like that. Us here on Victor, like a home. You guys keep building more and more apartments and stuff, and it's making it harder for us to keep the home that we have because the bigger builders saying, okay, this is an up and coming place, and let's build bigger homes. Running us out of our these older homes, out of the community. We can't even live in one of the apartments or condos there because we can't afford it when we can afford what we already have. Thank you.
How you doing? My name is Dale Peterson. I live at 937 Winter Lane, resident for 40 years, and I am opposed to the Drew Street, the end of the park. I don't want to give it up a square inch. It's park in Blue Ash. The destination that people go, and they're drawn to it. So I don't want to give up a square inch of that park. There's a developer here. I'm going to say if the developer's here, if he lives in Burnerville, he'd be up here opposed to the situation. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim.
My name is Steve Cagle. I live at 4491 Victor Avenue. Our house has been in the family for pretty much the whole time that Victor's been there, in 64 years. We've been in the family for probably 64 or 65 years, how long it's been. I grew up there, and we used to call it the park down there, the woods, we used to play down there. But it was always a dead end street. We never really expected. I don't think anybody on the Grand Avenue ever really expected it to be a through street. They didn't think that that would ever be extended. And then I think that if we do, if it is extended, it's going to create a lot of problems, a lot of hard feelings. And I think that it's your job as elected officials to protect and look at the residents that pay the taxes and do the things that are in the best interest of the residents. We didn't even hear about this until a week ago. And, you know, I'm sure there would probably be more people if everybody in Victor Avenue knew about it. But we didn't know about it. And I think that, I think that the problem can be resolved because I really think that if we've got a council and a city that can put together a million dollar park, that we can come up with a solution, to this issue on Victor Avenue. So that's really all I want to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
My name is Kimberly Adelstein. I'm a resident of Blue Ash at 9384 Cardinal Court. I also live in Burnville. We've lived there for 10 years. Essentially, I've raised my three kids in that area. And one of the reasons we chose that area is because we like the cul-de-sac, and we like that it's a low-traffic area, and it was a safe area for the kids to play. It is a real benefit for the residents to have an area where you can let your kid out of your front door, and it is safe, and they can play with other neighborhood kids, ride their bikes up and down a very quiet street, go to the end of the park, play in a safe environment, and come back. So I would like you to understand that the residents of Burnville feel very, very strongly about this because it means a lot to us to have the safety of our children. I also venture two guesses in this project. Number one is that it probably is a lot cheaper to have the road go simply to connect with Floral than to run it straight through. So I would like the council to consider that when they consider options for this solution. The second thing I would venture a guess is I'm an attorney and a former magistrate of the county court. And one of the things that I was very adamant about when I worked in court is safety. And I believe that if you question the Blue Ash police officials, especially the senior people who are here, they would have an opinion about the kind of holes that they take in Burnville and the kind of holes that they take over in the Floral Avenue area. There is a difference. And to put a connecting street is definitely a safety issue for me. The
The reason is because you're not only encouraging traffic to go down Victor Avenue as opposed to Hunt, you're inviting people who are in those neighborhoods who are conducting drug activity, who have domestic violence issues and other problems to come down Victor Avenue where there are a lot of children, and I mean a lot of children in the cul-de-sacs. We have, in the summertime, approximately 12 to 15 children in our cul-de-sac playing basketball, riding their skateboards. And they are safe there because you have a physical barrier of that park that separates the two neighborhoods. When I moved to Burkeville 10 years ago, one of the first things I did was check the registered sex offender list for Blue Ash. And there was a registered sex offender that lived on Floral Avenue. Recently, about 3 years ago, I checked. He's still there. That was also a safety concern I would like the city council to understand. Because removing that physical barrier not only encourages, but it invites traffic and activity from the Floral Avenue neighborhood into Burkeville. And it is very much a secluded community, even though it does have two connecting points up on Burkeville. And the neighbors that are there are wonderful. We have never had a problem with any of our neighbors. We never have a problem with police departments and making calls there. We see them very infrequently, and we like it. So I would wish you to consider that the safety of our children is a primary issue for many of us that live there. And removing that physical barrier of that park and connecting those two communities will increase the traffic. There's no doubt about that. You see that in other neighborhoods. The neighborhood that connects Hunt Road to Oakville, you see Blue Ash. There's signs that say no through traffic, but you better believe people go through there all the time, and it increases the traffic. So it's just natural for people to want to take the shortcut, and they will. But removing that physical barrier is not a very good idea, and I would venture that it is even cheaper to make it the roads for this developer to go out to Floral Avenue and not make a fully connecting street. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, I'm Stephanie Schlegel. I'm at 9384 Canary Court in Burkeville, and I would also like to speak against the extension of Victor Avenue through Hunt Park. I bought my house 15 years ago as a single woman, and I find that neighborhood to be very safe. Canary Court, though it's a cul-de-sac, I live on the corner lot, and was very proud when I told people that I live on a dead end, on a dead end. And putting the road through to Floral Avenue will take away that first of those dead ends. It will increase traffic. It will increase people who are not from the neighborhood passing through the neighborhood. And that will take away that sense of comfort and security that I have as a single woman living there. Burkeville is a treasure, and Hunt Park is a jewel. And the thought of any bike being taken out of Hunt Park is very upsetting to me. That's also a wonderful destination and helps with the property value and the desirability of the neighborhood. I agree with the gentleman who said he didn't want to see one inch taken away from the park. Perhaps we can think creatively about ways to minimize the impact by not pushing the street through, maybe perhaps a limited access private driveway off of Floral Avenue to the new houses that are coming in could be a compromise. And I think that it's very important for Blue Ash to maintain its green space. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Mary Srinivasan. I'm a resident at 4515 Victor Avenue, and I was just here to plead to you all as council to reconsider the extension of Victor Avenue. We purchased our home there in March of 2012 when we moved here from Maysville, Pennsylvania. The area where George Clooney and Rosemary Clooney. I love George to move here. I'm proud to say that I picked you over George. Okay. But we moved here because I'm a Kentuckian, or is very proud of Kentucky. However, having a child who lives on the autism spectrum, who lives with autism, it's a little disheartening to realize the lack of resources in the state of Kentucky for my child. And so we opted to move here to benefit from more schools. And we were very strategic in selecting the home that we wanted to purchase. And we purchased it. Of course, the house was available, but on Victor Avenue because of dead end roads, because our child, because of individuals, especially children that live with autism, have a tendency for wandering, and they're typically very good with locks and can wander off the property at any given hour of the day. And so we wanted to minimize the risks. So we invested in this home. I feel very passionate about advocating for those who can't advocate for themselves and for those who are on the spectrum, who cannot speak, who are not nonverbal, but who are our fellow citizens. And the other three families that I'm friends with on the cul-de-sac off of Victor Avenue, and who have also purchased their home for the same reason, I plead you to just reconsider and your option to extend Victor Avenue for people and the family who have opted for similar reasons to live there. I'm a gerontological nurse practitioner. I'm very passionate about those who are 55 and older. But I just encourage you to listen to the voices of those people, and from what I understand, being from Maysville, Kentucky, where it's a historical part, and that's Daniel Boone, his son died in the Battle of the Revolutionary War here in Lewis, but the house that's just down the street from us the Morgan family that's there on occasion, and your mom is just a wealth of knowledge. Realizing, you know, we have a lot of similarities, you know, from Washington here. Sharing with the images of the pictures of what Blue Ash did look like back in 1790. It was a beautiful farm area, land, and at Hunt Park is truly, thank you, truly the last remnant of that beautiful piece of creation. And I just encourage us all to find alternate ways out of the developed area. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Scott Schmidt. I'm the owner of Tahona Kitchen and Bar and a tenant of the City of Blue Ash. And I wanted to talk about the Summit Park proposed development and from a tenant's perspective and why we chose to open our first restaurant in Blue Ash. And the aggressive nature of the park and the decisions that were made to spend the money to develop the park and the surrounding area were very important to us. I've been in the restaurant industry for 33 years. The last 15 years of my career, I was an executive for a global and then another national company. And my wife and I decided to throw all that income away and decided to lose money starting our own business. And we chose Blue Ash as the opportunity for us to open our first business. And we were excited about the Summit Park development. We have enjoyed our almost 1 year of being in operations in Summit Park and taking care of both the Blue Ash community and the surrounding communities. I can tell you that I have personally sat and spoken with a number of city officials around the Cincinnati area that come to Summit Park frequently to see what is Blue Ash doing? Why are they deciding to invest this money in the park? And, you know, the thing that was most appealing about the Summit Park development was that it was really a unique lifestyle and life cycle development, meaning that it was going to accommodate and include all walks of the community, from millennials, we've heard of, to seniors, to single family homes, and the multi-use facet of the development on the side of the park was an important part of our decision to come to Blue Ash and to open our first restaurant here. And I agree that it has to be done well. And I've seen the developer plans. I was at the first meeting in September of 2016 where it was first announced and the plans were put out. And I have spoken with and come to the open houses and the various meetings. And I feel like, done well, it really is a unique opportunity for a unique community to do something that no one else in the Cincinnati area is doing. So we're excited. We would love to see more park users. I can tell you, after school, you know, prior to, you know, the school starting again for the year, we had unbelievable numbers of visitors from all around the communities, etc. Since back to school has occurred, I can sit in the restaurant and look out across the park and count on one hand the number of people that use it. And that's a disappointment that I'm sure we don't want to continue with in the amount of money that has been spent on the park. And I think having the opportunity to include a lot of different folks use and enjoy the park, raise their children on the park, enjoy working, playing, and live in the same area, and that is what this multi-use development brings to the city. So, thank you.
Thank you. Before anybody else comes on, I think how many more people are going to speak? Any more? So there's several. I'm just going to move that we take a 5-minute break. For council, when council receives, we're going to start right up. So you don't need to go to the market too far because you can always go out. We're going to take a little break. Okay? And I need to start.
Thank you.
Thank you.